are yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is our gospel lesson from Matthew 14. My dear fellow children of God, while the story of the feeding of the 5,000 is a very well-known miracle of Jesus, it perhaps lacks some of the wow factor of a few of his other miracles, like the calming of the storm or raising Lazarus from the dead. What also perhaps makes this miracle and listening to it as a gospel lesson and a sermon text a bit of a challenge is that it's one of those miracles, one of those Bible stories that we first hear when we are very, very young and hear it over and over and over again. And we know all the details, know the numbers, if you will. Jesus feeds 5,000 men plus women and children, uses 5 loaves of bread and a couple of fish, 12 baskets of food left over. And yet, realize this, that of all the miracles of Jesus, other than Jesus' resurrection, this is the only miracle the Holy Spirit decided to place in all 4 of the Gospels. That tends to give us an idea of its importance. And if those numbers, those details never change, then neither does the ending change, and neither does the beautiful comfort that we find in this familiar miracle. Our theme this morning is look to Jesus in all of your needs. And as we do that, we will first of all see that Jesus knows all of our needs. This text takes place about 1 year before Jesus' death, and it marks a bit of a change in his ministry. He will still preach to groups of people and still heal their sick. But more and more often, he will now spend time alone with his disciples. Why? Because he realized that he needed to get them in tune with his Father's will. His Father's will for Jesus, Jesus' mission. He needs to prepare them for his death, a violent death. And so we're told in our text, Jesus withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. So you see how Jesus, even before he feeds thousands, already recognizes a need of the disciples, a need they probably didn't recognize in themselves. So they head to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, the disciples no doubt looking forward to this trip with Jesus and spending time alone with him. Only what did they find? Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. Chances are the disciples weren't exactly happy about this crowd of thousands making their way along the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. They no doubt were looking forward to this alone time with Jesus. So what does Jesus do? Does he send them away? No, we're told in our text, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them. This phrase in Greek, have compassion, means that his heart went out to them. Why? The Gospel of Mark tells us that Jesus looked at this large crowd and he recognized that they were like sheep without a shepherd. They had made this 6-mile trip to see Jesus, but many came simply to be healed or have family members healed. Perhaps they came because they had heard he was a decent preacher. Maybe they came out of curiosity. Jesus looks at them and has compassion. He was filled with tenderness toward them. His heart went out to them. And so what does he do? He welcomes them and began teaching them many things and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. We're told in another gospel he did heal many of their sick. We know that in a few minutes he's going to provide for them a substantial meal. But he also provided for them so much more. He spoke to them about the kingdom of God. You have to admire these men, women, and children who made this long journey just to see Jesus. And while perhaps we question their motives, because certainly many of them came perhaps not for the best reason, to listen to the words of their Savior, guess is few of us walk 6 miles to get to church this morning. Would I walk 6 miles to get to church this morning if I had to? Would I have the same zeal to sit at the feet of Jesus that those thousands of people did 2,000 years ago? What's our motive in coming? Is our motive that we can be here in God's house and worship God and bring to God all of our needs, including needs of which we're not aware? Is it because we recognize how important it is to confess our sins on a regular basis and receive absolution, forgiveness for those sins? Are we here because it's just a habit, and has it become a mindless habit? Are you here because your mom or dad or your spouse said, hey, it's Sunday and we're going to church? Are we here because if we're not here, we'll begin to feel guilty? What's our comfort? No matter what motivation brought us here to God's house, Jesus knows all of our needs that we bring with us. He knows all of our sins, all of our shameful sins and secret lies. He knows all of the needs, all of the worries and doubts that chase us in circles at 2 a.m. Jesus knows everything that we bring to him and knows things of which we're not even aware. And if I ever begin to think that perhaps Jesus' heart went out to those people on that hillside 2,000 years ago more than it goes out to me, all I need to do is think of my greatest need, a need of which Jesus is so well aware, and look at the cross and see in that cross Jesus' ultimate example of compassion, that his heart went out to you and to me to such extent that led him to Calvary. Look to Jesus in all of your needs. He knows those needs, and Jesus fulfills those needs. We're told in our text, as evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place. It's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy some food. The disciples were concerned at the hour of the day, concerned that thousands of people had come not expecting to spend the whole day. And now what are they going to eat? Well, the disciples had the solution, and they were quick to give Jesus advice. They said, Jesus, here's what you do. Send them away. They can buy some food on the way home. But Jesus, you better do that. Better do that now. They had the answer. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And so often happens, Jesus' solution was different than our solution, the disciples' solution. And it didn't seem to make sense to the disciples. They say, we have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. They looked at the problem in front of them, and they thought, how is this going to solve things? They looked at what was in front of them instead of who was next to them, and decided that Jesus didn't really have a good solution. So what does Jesus do? Jesus does what he always does. He very evangelically, tenderly explains to them that because they had their Savior next to them, that Savior was bigger than the problem in front of them. Taking the 5 loaves and the fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and disciples gave them to the people. Just like that, the problem went away. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces that were left over. So did the disciples get what had just happened? One of the unique things about this miracle is that Jesus used the disciples to carry out the miracle. They weren't just witnesses or idle spectators or beneficiaries of the miracle, like the calming of a storm, but he used them to feed the people with the food. As they fed those thousands and then gathered up leftovers with far more food than what they had begun, did they understand what had just happened? You'd like to think they did, except But we also know that less than about 8 hours later, they're in a storm-tossed boat, positive they're going to die, and Jesus had to calm the storm and their fears and say, oh, you of little faith. But if we're tempted to shake our heads at the disciples and say, why didn't you catch on? If I think, you poor disciples, why didn't you get it? Then I need to look at the man in the mirror and shake my head at him. How many times have I had a problem and I've come up with the solution only to discover that Jesus' answer was different than my answer? And so what do? I say, no, Jesus, listen. This is what I need. Jesus, don't you understand? This is the solution that will work. And then what does Jesus do? Jesus does what he did 2,000 years ago. Jesus sits us down and he says, shh, just be still. Stop talking and listen. I am your Savior. I know your needs. I will fulfill your needs. I will fulfill needs of which you're only dimly aware. And all those longing hopes that haunt you, as we just sang, Jesus says, I know those, and I will take care of those, even if my answer doesn't match your answer. Because Jesus reminds us that his answer matches our Heavenly Father's holy will. Jesus says, whatever your needs, I will take care of them, even, Jesus says, even if it takes a miracle. Even if it takes a miracle. There are so many people today, including people sitting in Christian churches, that deny the miracles of Jesus and deny that miracles still happen today, as though somehow a baby becoming a child of God through water and the Word isn't a miracle. As though you kneeling a week ago at the Lord's table and receiving Jesus' very body and blood isn't miraculous. There are those who look at this miracle in front of us and they say, well, Jesus didn't really create more food because that's scientifically impossible. Here's what maybe happened. Maybe what Jesus did was hypnotize all of those people into thinking they weren't hungry. It's laughable. My wife would tell you if she could do that, that would be a miracle. There are also those who look at this miracle, and their answer for Jesus feeding thousands is this, that when Jesus said, feed the people, and they said, all we have from this young boy are 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, that because of his example of selflessness, it motivated everybody else to bring out the food that they were hiding under their cloaks, and then there was enough food when they shared for everybody to have a meal. So it teaches us a nice moral lesson, learn to share with others. The worst thing about taking words from Scripture and robbing them of their true meaning isn't that we rob Jesus of the respect that he deserves. Jesus doesn't need our respect. But the worst thing that happens is once you begin to pick at the miraculous power of Jesus and say, I bet this is what really happened, is that then where do you stop? Because if Jesus couldn't feed thousands of people with just a few loaves of bread and fish, if Jesus couldn't walk on water or calm a storm, then could Jesus perform his greatest miracle, a walk to Calvary and a walk out of a tomb? That's the danger in robbing Jesus' miracles of their true meaning. Feeding me when I'm hungry, providing for my family when I see no solution for some problem, taking care of needs of which I'm not even aware, all of those are certainly miracles, but nothing compared to the greatest miracle that Jesus has performed for you and for me. Forgiven every one of our sins and guaranteed us a home in heaven. look to Jesus in all of your needs? Jesus knows those needs. Jesus fulfills those needs. He has made you a child of God. A child of God. What a miracle indeed. Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.